Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to be again today, picking up in verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles that should be on the chairs, and you're welcome to take that as our gift to you. Remind you that after the service today, we're going to have a meal together. It's called Last Sunday Supper, and it's an opportunity for us to be together and to enjoy a meal together, and as well as to invite some other folks. I just want to share real quick before we get going and just say, this has been a good thing. We've enjoyed doing it. In order to keep doing it, we're going to need some folks with logistical giftings to sign on to be a part of the team. We've got some folks who are excited to be a part of the team, and we're glad for that and excited for that. But we need, there's some logistical giftings that are needed there. Like, we got here today and there weren't plates, you know, like just some of those sorts of things that we just got to figure out and have some folks that are on top of those details for us to be able to keep doing this, which we'd like to keep doing it. So if you want to talk to me or to Nee after the service, if you have a desire and you're logistically gifted and want to help this team keep moving forward. We are continuing in the book of Acts, and we're continuing to introduce here. This is the book written by Luke, the doctor, who paid a lot of attention to details, and he is telling us here. He's sort of overlapping with the end of the Gospel of Luke, and what we come to last week, we looked at Acts 1:8 pretty significantly, and the call that Jesus gave to the disciples and said they were going to be his witnesses, starting in Jerusalem and then to Judea and Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth, to the uttermost parts. Now, we pick up here in verses 9 through 11, and this is a teaching about, you know, we've got Christmas is about what?
Jesus.
Yeah, the birth of Jesus, right? We call that the incarnation, God coming to earth. Easter's about what?
Resurrection.
There are not many verses, not many passages that talk about the ascension, of Jesus. What is that? We're going to talk about that. And talk about why it's important for us today. So let me pray, and then we'll read. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to sit under it again this afternoon. And God, we pray, Lord, we recognize that we've all walked in this afternoon in different places, in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies. Lord, some of us feel very strong today. Some of us feel very weak. And God, we pray that by your Spirit, you would meet us wherever we're at. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And when he, Jesus, had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. So I want to seek to explain this text this afternoon, and then we want to apply it to our lives together. Two big points out of these verses, here. The first is in verse 9, we see that Jesus didn't die, he was lifted up. Can you say lifted up?
Lifted up.
That's an interesting way to go. That's not how most of us are going to go, but that's how Jesus went. And I've never had a conversation in that way. I've had people fall asleep. You know, I've had people leave, but I've never had somebody be lifted up at the end of a conversation, right? You probably haven't either. Jesus finished talking, and while his disciples were looking, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, Jesus had been telling them he was going to go away, right? I mean, John 14, John 15, John 16, he's telling them this whole time, hey, look, I'm going to be with you for a little while, but then I'm going to go away, and the helper is going to come, referring to the helper as the Holy Spirit. And we'll get to that soon. In John 16, 7, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the fact that Jesus was going to go away, that wasn't new to the disciples. But they probably didn't know the timing, right? They're probably just a surprise. They were probably surprised by this and that. Oh, okay, I guess that was the time. There he went. And this wasn't just a cloudy day. We see appearances of these kinds of clouds at other points in the Bible. So Jesus lifted up into a cloud that really represents the cloud, the glory of God's presence. We see that in the Transfiguration in Luke 9, the Shekinah glory cloud in Ezekiel 11. So there's something here with the Bible talks about coming on a cloud. Right, so there's a lot of that in the Old Testament, and here Jesus goes up in a cloud. That's how Jesus went away. Now, why is this important? Well, he didn't fall to the ground and die, did he? He didn't die. He was lifted up, and that's incredibly important. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. And other passages help us understand that part of what happened here is this was his coronation. He was lifted up to go where? Yeah, to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, right? That's what we read in Ephesians 1 earlier, that he's seated. He's lifted up and seated at the right hand of God the Father. So this is his coronation. This is his ascension to the right hand of God. So he got raised from the dead, and then he got lifted up and seated at the place of authority where his name is above every name, right? So that's not in this passage, but we know that from other passages. This was his coronation. So that's the first big thing that we see. Jesus didn't die. He was lifted up. The second big thing is we see this. Jesus will return. Jesus will return. Let me pick back up in verse 10. And while they were gazing into heaven, so the disciples are gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So the disciples, they're on the Mount of Olives and they're standing there. We've all been there at points where you kind of just don't know what to do next. Like something really significant happened and you're kind of stuck, right? Some of us experience that in the morning, right? We're awake, but we're not ready to do the next thing yet. You're just kind of mesmerized, right? Like I'm awake, but I'm not totally here. I'm not ready to move on. That's how the disciples were at this point. And that was understandable, right? It's not every day that you see somebody go up into heaven like that. God sends two angels to them, just like, you know, at the tomb. So these two men dressed in white, we're to assume they're angels, and they come to give comfort to these disciples. But not only to give comfort, but they've also got a message of, hey, just like you saw him go up, in the same way, he's going to come back. Now get moving, right? Is basically what they said. And they addressed him as men of Galilee, which is the region where these guys were from. They were citizens of the northern portion of Israel. So the assurance was given to disciples that Jesus would return. And would it be a different Jesus? No, it's going to be the same Jesus. It said, this same Jesus, the one whom you just saw go up, the one who just went up, that same Jesus is one day going to appear again, right? He's going to come back. There's going to be a literal, physical, resurrected Savior who comes down just the way he went up. Other New Testament passages, such as 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, explain some more details on this fully. But I got to preach this sermon this morning here at Battery Park, and we sang a really cool hymn. Let's see who knows it. It's by Horatio Spafford, written in 1873. And he speaks to this reality. I'll read a few of the lyrics. It says, O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You know that hymn? That's what that stanza of that hymn. The hymn is "It is well with my soul," and the truth that that stanza speaks of is that Jesus is coming back, right? That's the bedrock truth there. It's clear that from Acts 1 that just as Jesus left, so too will he return. Those are the verses. Now, two applications of those for us. Two truths. Number one, because Jesus ascended and will return, Christians can communicate with him now. Can you say now? Christians can communicate with Jesus now. You can't communicate with dead people, can you? But you can communicate with people even when you're not in their physical presence if they're still alive. That's possible, right? You know, you know, face-to-face is better, but you can text somebody. You know, you can email them, you can call them, you can Skype them, you can communicate with them over social media if they're alive, right? If they're alive and you're alive, you can communicate with people even when you're not face-to-face. Some people go bananas every time a new iPhone comes out. So there might be some of those people in this room, we're not mad at you if that's you. But the reality is that happens every year, right? About this time, folks are really excited about what's the new part of technology. What's this new thing that's going to come out that's going to change my life again? You know, this time, this year, I'm here to tell you that there's a bigger announcement in regards to communication than the new iPhone. 8 or 10, right? Skipping 9. But the announcement is, the reality is that you can communicate with Jesus today. Amen. You can communicate with him today. Here's the deal. He's not dead. Amen. You can't see him face to face. You're not going to have a face-to-face conversation with him today, but you can still communicate with him. He's alive. He is not dead. There's another means of communicating with him, but you can communicate with him. One day it will be face-to-face, but today it's through a different means, right? But he is alive, and you can talk with him. You can hear from him. This is from the book that the women are going to read. So this is David Mathis speaking to that reality. He writes this. He says, "We don't just learn facts. We learn a face," capital F. "We're not just learners of principles, but of a person," capital P. "We are lifelong learners in relationship with Jesus. As we hear his voice in his word and have his ear in prayer and share in community with his body, all through the power of his spirit." Friends, it's not face to face yet, but communication with Jesus is possible, and is possible today. It's not what it will be. You know, but it's possible today. Because Jesus ascended and didn't die, you can still communicate with him. And we as a church want to help you do that. It's a little harder, you know, by text, right? But we want to help you learn to listen, to read, to study, to hear from Jesus in the here and now. This would be a great discussion question this week in your Northside groups. How can I grow in communicating with Jesus? How can I grow in learning to hear from him? How can I grow in learning to speak back to him? That's number one. Number two is this. Because Jesus ascended and will return, Christians are to be on mission. You say mission?
Mission.
Do you know what a successor is? You know what a successor is? It's somebody who takes the job after somebody else, right? So Kelly and I moved to Virginia. We moved to Hanover County because a job got vacated. There was an assistant pastor at Grace Community Presbyterian Church in Hanover who left to go. His name was Eric Bonkowski, and he left to go be the pastor at City Church. And so his job was open, and praise God, they hired me to do that job because it was 2008. Nobody was hiring, but I became Eric's successor. Right, I took over his job. I did his job after he left. And, you know, Jesus' ascension, I know this is weird, but Acts 1:9 comes after 1:8, right? And in 1:8, he told him the mission he was going to give him. He said, it's a part of the mission he'd been doing a part of his life, right? Jesus, during his time, during his public ministry, had been advancing the kingdom of God, both in word and in deed. And in 1:8, he told him, hey, guys, you're going to do this. Now I'm going to leave and you're going to do it. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to witness to my kingdom in word and deed, starting here, then a little further out, and then ultimately taking it out to the whole world. And so they were Jesus' successors. And guess what? We fall in that line as well. If you're here and you're a Christian, you're one of the successors. Jesus' mission, his ministry, has now fallen to his church. So kids, do any of you have a hard time waking up in the morning?
Yeah.
All right. And I spoke about this a little bit earlier, right? You're not quite ready for the day yet. Your eyes are awake, but it's not quite time to move on. You're not ready for all that the day is going to bring you yet. Well, the angels came to these disciples who were in that same state. And they had to rouse the disciples, like kind of like some of your parents might have to rouse you at points and say, hey, come on, time to get going with our day. Let's do the next thing. Let's keep it moving. That's part of what happened here with these angels. They said, yes, Jesus is coming back. Book it. Count on it. It will happen. The same Jesus you saw go up, he's coming down. Count on it. They also said, we can't stay up here. It's time to get moving, right? It's time to get on with the work that he's given us to do. You can't sit up here on the summit all day while you wait on him to reappear. He's not coming back right now. And he's given you a mission to do. You see, as one commentator put it, the disciples were called to be witnesses and not just stargazers. All right? The disciples were called to be witnesses, not just stargazers. And so are we? Friends, if you're here and you're a Christian, do you have any sense of mission towards your life? Any sense of seeking to advance God's kingdom in word and in deed? Would anyone around you say that you have a sense of mission? Would the folks around you say that you're a part of God's kingdom advancement through word and deed? Or might they just say that you're just trying to be a nice person? Do you notice the people who don't know Jesus around you and have a sense or desire to get the gospel to them? Some have asked this question this way. Do you own the lostness of your community? In other words, does the fact that folks aren't honoring Jesus in their life and in their community, does it bother you? Is there this sense of, I want to do something about this? I'm internally motivated, I'm moved as I see Jesus not being honored. Do you know people well enough to know whether they're honoring Jesus or not with their life? Certainly there are other parts of the Christian life, but if you're going to follow Jesus, one of the places he's going to lead you to is mission. And we're called to be witnesses in his kingdom with our words and our deeds. We're in his line of succession. And we have this privilege of being on this mission together. You're not in this alone. We're in this together as a church. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then I want to be real clear this afternoon. Part of witnessing is what happens Sunday by Sunday, and to just say that there are lies that you're probably believing, and different ones that the world might be offering, but lies like what the world has to offer is better than what God has to offer. Lies like the reality that you should be the center of everything, that God's not first, that God's not beautiful, that God's not most worthy of everything that I have. You see, my nature is that I'm central, right? Like my nature is I'm in charge, everything revolves around me. I'm the sun and everything revolves around me. That's my nature. And guess what? It's yours too. It's all of ours. And what has to happen is God has to come in and transfer. He's got to change our nature. He's got to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that's what he'll have to do for you if you don't follow him yet. If you're here and you're not a Christian yet, I just want you to know that it's not about a group of people who have it all together, who have it all figured out, who are just doing everything right all the time. It's a group of people who are falling, who are failing, but who know the one who's found them and are trying to point other people to that guy. That's what we're about. And so Jesus calls you to repent of living as if he isn't central and trust that you are forgiven as you receive Jesus as your Savior. And then guess what happens? You get to join with us in living out this kingdom mission together. On day one, you get to tell other people. You get to start living together with us, saying, I'm not perfect, but I know the one who is. And he has rescued me. And so you join with us in living by faith in this in-between time, communicating with God in the here and now, seeking to be faithful to his kingdom mission in the world, and trusting that one day he will return. How much would you risk if you really believed that he was going to return? I mean, if you were absolutely certain that Jesus was coming back, let's say you knew he was coming back tomorrow, how much would you risk today? You know, what would you be willing to do today if you knew he was coming back tomorrow? I want to try to help you connect to Jesus coming back for his children here. I'm going to close with this illustration. So it's an illustration from a 2011 article titled, I Knew You'd Come. And it's by a guy who in 2001 was 13 years old. And his high school, he just started at his high school.